I'm determined to sit by the band.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Miracle Man program here on Tuesday, October the 25th of 2022. And I am your host for the Miracle Man program tonight. I want to thank every one of you who made the determination to tune into the broadcast, wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be tuning in, whether you've called in on your smartphone or even a flip phone, which, by the way, didn't those kind of make a comeback like for like 5 minutes and then now they're not in style again anymore?
I think so.
They kind of came in for like another quick minute though. I borrowed that from the Trumpster, the whole thing, like where he would say something like, and by the way, it only lasted for 2 minutes or 22 minutes. You've heard where he does that before, haven't you?
No.
Like when he, but of course, when Trump will say minutes, you really, he means like a period of days or weeks or a month or something. So I would say like a Trump minute is like a certain period of days. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
When he was saying that one thing about that whole crazy thing that happened 2 summers ago, like with, you know, Minneapolis and stuff, and he said a half hour. Part of what he meant was like, you know, a few weeks, but you get the idea. You know what I mean? But I mean, like, it was, so yeah, the flip phones were a thing for a little while. You know, originally they were big for a lot longer. One of my first smartphones I had was a flip phone, but that's beside the fact. My point is, and I'm so grateful you tuned in, whether you've called in, whether you have tuned in online on blogtalkradio.com, whether that be on your smartphone or your tablet or your laptop or your desktop. No, I am not as old as a dinosaur. And I don't think desktops are as common as they used to be. That I know of. No, they're not. If you're under 18 and you got a desktop, then I salute you. I don't think too many people under 18 have a desktop. You doubt it?
I doubt.
Now, you had one, right?
I did. And it was dial-up.
Oh, dial-up? Now, that is the age of the dinosaurs, folks.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is basically the age of a dinosaur. Almost. Now, I was born in 89, but dial-up was a thing in the 90s, but luckily we're not doing dial-up anymore. If you're still doing dial-up, then I don't know what to tell you. Then are you hiding under a rock somewhere?
Yeah,
because you're frustrated because your internet speed has probably went down for the 50th time. But it's so good that you've tuned in. And hey, while I'm at it, you know, with the whole thing of it being the 25th of October, we are literally, as of today, 2 months to Christmas. 2 months. And hope you're getting, you know, starting to get ideas figured out, maybe, as to what people want for Christmas or what you want for Christmas. I never say what I want for Christmas before Black Friday. I never do. And the people would wonder why. Does it have anything to make about the idea to make sure that that people go out to the stores between Thanksgiving and Christmas? I don't know. Because I feel like that time frame was designed to be the holiday season, that time between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
Do I think it was made for Amazon? No. No. in my mind, that's the time to get outside to the mall. But, I mean, or to the, you know, see the, you know, Christmas trees or whatever, you know. And I think part of what has happened to so many malls, particularly your smaller malls, is people aren't going to them at Christmas quite like they used to. And I feel like Christmas is a very important time, any one of them. Any retailer will tell you they make a good chunk of money around the holidays. That sometimes that can make or break their year.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why some years, that's why a lot of store closings are announced in January or February, because I feel like it can have to do with the holidays. Because that's why they say the holidays are rather important. But here in October, you would almost, if you were on anywhere on much of the east part of the United States, from here down to Florida, even to the east, or at least here to Tennessee, you would probably think that it was more like September, because it's been 70 degrees and warmer the last few days. Now in places like Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Atlanta, Georgia, and points south of there, you're still in the 70s, right up to about Harvest Day, the 31st of October. But then after that, bottom falls out. Mm-hmm. Down below 70 it goes. And then a little bit further south in Georgia, a few days later. So just to kind of give you an idea. Because for some of the folks down south from like South Tennessee and into Georgia, this is more like just a tad bit above what it would be. But here right now, usually it would be like 53 or so, 52.
I'm not complaining.
me neither, although I will say this. I am hoping for one more slightly chilly football game.
Yeah.
But we'll see. This week will be decent in that case. Like, it won't be super cold, but it'll be, I would say it about basically optimum. If part of what you wanted last weekend would have been a rather chilly game, then this past Friday wouldn't have quite been the one for you. But this one will be a little bit more chilly, but in this state and in several other states, the playoffs are starting this weekend, including that state to the south, where it used to be until this year that this week would have been the last regular season week. But now they started football playing in that state to the south the week of, let me see here, the week of Friday, August 19th, not Friday, August 26th, but August 19th, which up here is fair week. Let me tell you this right now. In my mind, that's a little early to start high school football. You do not start it until 2 weeks before Labor Day. Mm-hmm. Now, if push came to shove in Michigan, and it came to that in Michigan, and it turned out that Midland had a home game, would I be there? Of course.
No.
Without a doubt, I would be there because of what I already do to go to the games. So, yep, I would still be there. But hey, Hey, Trish Steele, are you listening right now? You know who Trish Steele is, right, Jamie?
I don't.
She is the fair manager.
Oh.
Hey, Trish Steele, have you ever thought of putting a nice big football field stadium that can seat like 4,000, 5,000 people at the fairgrounds so that the first home game of the Midland season, if it's during fair week, can be at the fair? Ever think of that? Couldn't they put a regulation football field in the grandstand?
I would think so. Big enough.
I feel like they should. Hey, Trish, get on that, please.
Yeah. Because what if it's
next year? Because that way for Thursday night, instead of what it's supposed to be, it can actually be the game.
Yeah.
And then my idea would be, and why can't we have monitors on the midway so we can watch the game? If that's the case.
Yeah.
Because my idea, where does the band get to sit in the bleacher? Oh, yeah. The part right by where you can see the midway. Isn't there a certain set of bleachers in that grandstand that literally is right next to the rides almost, like just on the other side of the fence from the rides?
Yeah, where the main bleachers are, the rides are right behind it.
How many sections are there in there? You know how we have six in our stadium? How many sections do they have in there?
I would say probably close to that.
Which one's more by the big rides?
Well, it's all the same section. Like it's all where the grandstand, the bleachers are all in one big section.
So
when you first walk into the grandstand, like your bleachers will be to your left. That would be the closest to the ride.
Yep. So they need to go on the left side. And then, do you bet that sound would fly right through that fence?
Oh, I'm sure. That'd be loud.
That would be for sure. And so that everybody at the fair gets to hear it. My idea, mic it.
Yeah.
Because then everybody gets to hear it because you say, what's your idea, Miracle Man? My idea is that whether it's Midland or Dow first game, if Michigan goes to starting football season that early and maybe starting the playoffs a week earlier, I don't see why that wouldn't be a good idea. But in Michigan, they try to have the last weekend of playoffs be Thanksgiving weekend. So my guess is they would not go that route and be having having regular season football on the week of like August 17th, 18th, 19th. But you never know. We'll have to wait and see. In Tennessee, they started that same week too, which in my mind, that I would think that would be too hot of a time to start football. But
I would think so.
Yeah. And by that, I mean regular season football. I didn't say preseason. I said regular season because the pros already don't start football before Labor Day, which obviously I see why we don't do that in Michigan anymore. Back in like the 50s, they wouldn't start football until the week of like September 13th.
Oh, yeah.
But that was in the days of no playoffs. In those days, the way they voted for a state champion was based on the Detroit Press polling coaches and the like. So the teams didn't really have a chance to show it, meaning to show that they were the best. And I like them to be able to show it as opposed to it just being voted on. Based on different things. The only reason I got into football because I was thinking of like how they do it differently in these other states, and now that it's late October. And have you ever had the pumpkin pie blizzard from Dairy Queen?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. I love it. I love it.
I haven't had it. That sounds good.
Yes, it's a good blizzard from Dairy Queen.
S'mores one.
What?
with some more blizzards.
Your daughter was telling me about that one, but honestly, I feel like this time of the year, I would much rather have pumpkin pie.
Oh, yeah.
In a blizzard than have the other stuff because
yeah.
In my mind the s'more stuff could be more summer but people do have campfires in the fall of course and yeah bonfires and the like especially if it's a decently chilly night and I feel like if it gets too cold, though, it would be harder for the fire to light. It would be harder for the fire to light if it is too cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as they say, you never know until you try.
Right.
Yeah, you really won't know until you do. And that's not really a figure of speech. It's just not the same. Don't know until you try.
Right.
As they say. Now, I want to remind you of a couple of quick things. Then I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. The first thing I want to remind you about is about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been throughout my life. And it even has some of my mother's testimony in it because she got freed from some things too before she gave birth to me. And I will say this. She was a wreck. Before she had me, she was a wreck. Did she ever tell you that? She was a wreck.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
Like I would not want to see her that way. I mean, not with all the speed she was using, all the cigarettes, all the alcohol, all the. And by the way, listeners, nicotine and alcohol. When you do that, listeners, you're ruining your witness. And I know some people might say, well, when the Bible, when it's talking about Salem, it's talking about a city, not smokes. You're right. It's talking about a city, not smokes. And I know I didn't see anywhere in the Bible where it talks about a Marlboro or I never saw a place in my Bible where Jesus passed the spittoon. I never found a place in there either where Peter, one of the disciples, where Peter said, hey, Judas, John, Mark, you know, Thaddeus, you got a light? Nope, none of them had one. None of them had one. And you know what else? God didn't give you a chimney. God didn't give us a chimney. And I have heard of people saying, you know, that, you know, from people who got freed from different vices, whether it be smoke, whether it be, you know, cigarettes, alcohol, porn, other things that people get totally bound, totally caught up in like these vices and about like how, or maybe about how they ran from God and then turned to God. Where you should have just stayed with God all along and ran away. Because my testimony is that I've stayed with him. And that's the best testimony you can have. It doesn't always take testimony of someone who, you know, had once been like this, then they got into this, then they got into that, and you know, and then they finally came home and got right with God again. Now, Now, I've just stayed, you know, with God. And but the book shares the testimony of my life, and you can go online to the website riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book and how it can be a blessing to your life. Because I do want it to be a blessing to your life. I want you to read it. I want more people to read the book. I always believe God that more people will read it. Amen. And so you can avail yourself to that, as they say, you know, read it. All right. The other thing that I would like to remind you about is about the PayPal. And I want to tell you, if this show has been a blessing into your life, I pray that it has been through all the teachings that I've given you. And everything that we've done over the years. I will tell you this. I have honestly really enjoyed doing it. And it's not something that I take lightly when I say that. And yes, we develop traditions on the show, like the prediction of the football games. And I've enjoyed doing it. And I've just really, honestly, have enjoyed doing this program, bringing it to you 5 years running. Five years running, and a certain guy helped me. Used to be, you know, he used to live around here. Now he lives in North Dakota. An awesome guy, and listeners, I'm referring to Preacher Man, and it's always great whenever we've had him tune in and talk to us. But you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the program. And I want to make something clear to you. When you sow your seed to this program, and I pray over that seed, this is good ground here. It really is good ground. It really is. It's not something I just say. And we use it for the work of God. We use it to reach people. And I pray, and I always pray, that more and more people would hear about this program and would tune in for them to hear more about Jesus. Because we live in a crazy time. This is the last of the last days. And I don't mean it like any kind of doom and gloom, but we all know at some point the world is coming to an end. The world is coming to an end, whether we want to admit it or not. And my pastor has said that even since the 90s, and I'm sure even before that, back in the 80s. And because I remember him saying that just before the whole Y2K thing, which was that whole thing about the computers, and when it hit 2000, could not go to four digits. But, of course, when I woke up on the morning of January 1st, 2000, everything was, in my mind, normal. It was just another day, got up, had breakfast, and it was just another day. Just another day. But certain people thought the world was going to end. People also thought the same thing about December 21st of 2012. My question, why was it predicted to end right before Christmas?
Right.
And I have a little story about that. So my little idea, joking idea, had been around that time because people were wondering, you know, what do you think is going to happen on the 21st? So I kind of thought, you know, well, the world's not going to end. But I texted some, you know, people who I friends with on Facebook, and I said, one of them that I knew of was working at the mall, and I had said, here's what I thought would happen. I thought you know, what'll happen on the 18th and 19th into the 20th would be that you'd have this huge blizzard, lots of snow, ice, and all that kind of stuff. I never gave an exact amount, but I would have thought, like, you know, 12 to 18 inches or so, like starting Tuesday night, going all the way to Wednesday night, and then to like the wee hours of the 20th, which would have been a Thursday. And then 20th would have been cleanup day. But my idea was that the 21st, everything would be clear, it would warm up, and that the mall would be like totally rushed, packed, because of people who wouldn't have been able to go shopping the 19th and possibly not on the 20th of December either. Now in 2012, the 21st was a Friday. Now, I went there on the 21st and it was kind of busy, but not quite like what it would have been on, like, the 22nd or 23rd. And because I had memories on a couple of other final Friday right before Christmas of it being busier than that, specifically December 23rd, 2011, which had been a Friday. December, let me think here, 18th or 19th or so of 09, yeah, the 19th. But that one might have been a little bit less, I feel like, because there was still a few days left to go. December 21st of 07, I didn't go inside, but there was traffic by Joe Mann on Jefferson, which to me could kind of say something. And then the 22nd of December of 06, the big one to me was possibly December 22nd of 2000, which was, I remember traffic was crazy. We went inside. It was pretty wild, but I'm sure people would say it could have been wilder still, but it was pretty busy.
Yeah, it would have been.
But anyhow, all things considered, you know, if you want to sow a seed into the program, you know, as we are in the final days, the last days, and we're here to bring light to these people who are trying to make it through the maze of the last days. Because I tell you, this is a maze. It's weird. It's just different. but you can go online to sow your seed to paypal.com in the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I want you to keep in mind, if you would kindly, related to that, is that the first R in Rivers is capitalized. The S in Shukla, capitalized. And like I said, there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. So please, if you would, just make note of that so that the money can go to where you want it to go. And I pray for your seed. And so, now I'm going to sing a couple of songs, and then we'll get into the word of the Lord, and then we'll see what else we have for tonight. All right. Water, you've turned into wine. You've opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Mm-hmm. What could stand against? Mm-hmm. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, Then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Yes. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sights upon the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sights only on him. And these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. And on all my ways, I'll acknowledge him. His thoughts and purpose I will pursue. And willingly, I will surely follow. I know that you will see me through. I will move up higher. Oh, I will move up higher. I set my sights above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. Yes, I will move up higher. I'll set my sights, I'll set my sights only on him. And these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. I will move up higher. In a thousand ways, I will move up higher. I set my sights above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him. And these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. I set my sights only on him. And these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Master. Yes, Master. The Lord is my shepherd. He always guides me. He always leads me. I won't fear. He is my shepherd. He's my strong tower. He moves the mountains and valleys. I won't fear. Hallelujah. I am not alone. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not alone. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. No one can harm me. He restores my soul. His love always finds me. My cup runneth over. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not alone. Oh, he's my comfort. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not alone. Oh, he's my comfort. He always draws me close. Your spirit lives within me, so I can walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory. Your spirit lives within me. So I shall walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory. Your spirit lives within me. So I can walk in your peace. Your spirit dwells within me. My victory. My victory. Your spirit dwells within me. So I shall walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Yes. Hallelujah. I am not.
He's my comfort. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Oh, hallelujah, I am not alone. Ooh, he's my comfort, he always draws me close. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us tonight. Even if we feel like we're alone, we're not alone because we have you on our side. We have you going before us, going behind us, hemming us in, making a way for us when it seems like there is no other way. There you are, making a way for us. Because you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are the great I am. That's what you are to us. That's who you are to us. That's what you're doing for us right now. I thank you for that, Master, that you're just moving in our midst for us. Right here, right now. And I love you tonight, Jesus. I love you tonight for what you're doing in us, for us, through us. Thank you, Master. And thank you for all these listeners that have tuned in, wherever they're tuning in from. Thank you that they're ready to receive what you have for them tonight through the word, not only through your word, but whatever miracles that they're believing you for. Because we know that you are the miracle worker. And thank you that we would just be able to just touch the hem of your garment. That if we just touch the hem of your garment, that we could be made well. And we could receive whatever it is that you're believing him for. And I thank you, Master, that you're doing those things for us. Thank you that you use me to deliver your word tonight, Jesus. And that you anoint the hearers, the listeners, to hear this program. That nothing would get in the way of them hearing what you want them to hear tonight through the sound of my voice. And now, Master, I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, please, if you would, to the book of Luke 7. Hallelujah, Luke 7. And I'm going to teach on this. What I'm referring to is this. Just touch the hem of his garment. Touch the hem of his garment. excuse me, it's chapter, eight. And so it's Luke 8. I want to start with verse 40 tonight. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they all were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, he came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come into his house, because his only daughter, who was a girl who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, because they were on their way to a big sale on Black Friday. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It's not what it says. He's on his way. The crowds almost crushed him. They were on their way to see what he was going to do. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. No one. She came up behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak, his garment. And immediately, her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. And the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were waiting and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and he said, My child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. So, you see, some of you might wonder, so what exactly do we have, folks? Well, what you have basically is a girl who had basically been subject to bleeding for her whole life. She was 12 years old. Basically, her story was that she had been bleeding for the whole 12 years of her life. No one could heal her. No one could help her. In Mark, it tells her story differently. In Mark, it mentions that she had spent all that she had. I mean, she didn't, but we'll say, you know, the parents might have and what have you, but she had spent all kinds of time, all kinds of money, care of many doctors, probably some of the best doctors of that day. You know, Dr. Thomas, you know, Dr. Judah, you know, just trying to think of different doctors that there might have been of that day. Now, they didn't have the medical technology that we have today. It's incredible what we have today to be able to test and find out what it is, what it could be. But she had care from many doctors, but she didn't get any better. All she did was get worse, 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 and worse. That's it. So somehow she finds out about Jesus. She finds out, oh, the miracle worker is coming. And he had been talking to a lot of people. He got, the man had noticed someone from the house of Jairus knew Jesus was coming. He sees Jesus and says, "Lord, please come help. My daughter is basically dying." Jesus goes, but he doesn't just go, just him and some of his disciples. No, there's crowds crushing him the whole way there, crushing him. Now, when it says the crowds almost crushed him, that doesn't sound to me like it was just safely packed, like how if you're in a place that's crowded but it's otherwise safe. Sounds to me like it was extreme. But people, they were following him. They were expecting him to do things. People were hungry for him. Folks, whatever happened to expecting God to heal? Whatever happened to going to the house of God, expecting God to do something for you? Whatever happened to saying, "I will not leave the house of God the same way as I enter"? Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to that? I mean, we get all busy. But she, you know, so she sees him. There's all these people following him, even at their house. And there's all these people all around him. I'll say at least a few hundred people if I were to guess, or however many could fit on the property. I don't know. He didn't say how many people, but there were tons of people crowded to the max. And so Jesus, someone touches him, his garment. She touched the hem of his garment. And some people could be all like, "Really? Why would you go, you know, and just touch someone like that? Why?" Well, she went up there, touches him. Jesus takes notice and asks the disciples, "Well, who touched me?" And then they all the disciples deny it. But actually, I'm not sure that I would call it denying, because they, in fact, did not do it. They truly did not touch him. The woman with the issue of blood touched him. And so she goes up there, touches him. You know what happens? She gets healed instantly. She gets healed instantly. What if we could just get that close to Jesus? We could just get that close to Jesus to get healed. And she wasn't worried about it and going like, oh, it's so crowded. What am I going to do? Some people would have probably gotten claustrophobic because they're outside the house, yet there's like no room at all. Then someone comes out of the house and basically says, right in front of Jesus' face, basically says, Jairus, I got news for you. Your daughter is dead. And the basically says, don't bother the teacher anymore. Jesus talks to the people, and basically says, your daughter isn't dead. She's sleeping. She's not dead. Sleeping. And she had just been sleeping. So then she wakes up. Jesus tells her to get up. She gets up. And they feed her. She is sitting there, and she basically said, you know, if I just touch his cloak, all I have to do is touch his cloak and be made well. But she, and then he just says, you know, that power went out from him. And that power leaving him, you know what that was? That miracle working power of God healing that lady's body. She had been desperate. You know what he told her? Your faith has healed you. So I have a question for your listeners. And you know something? I'm asking for a friend. Wouldn't you rather hear that your faith has healed you than to hear, oh, you of little faith? I would much rather hear from Jesus, your faith has healed you. That's what I would rather hear from him. That's basically his way of saying, you know, you're doing a great job at trusting me, believing in my word and what it says. She didn't have this account yet, because that was going on in her life right then. She didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the different Old Testament. You know, she didn't have access to all that. You know. But she believed in him. And Jesus said to that man who came out, who was saying, you know, that the daughter was dead, he was basically saying, you know, instead of saying that, being all afraid and saying that she's dead, instead of being afraid and saying that she's dead, believe. Right in the middle of that circumstance. And he said, believe. Sometimes when you're going through crazy stuff, you're going through stuff that is like so urgent, or it feels so hard, or it feels just so, that giant just see that staring right at you just seems so severe, and you just wonder, should I believe or not? Should I trust God or not? Is this too big or not? I mean, is God too big? Is God able to do this? Or is this too big? You know what? There's nothing that you're going through that's too big for God. Nothing that you're going through is too big for God. It doesn't matter what it is. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. I put my trust in the Lord my God. I mean, more of us than not, when we go through stuff, we can find ourselves wondering. But, you know, God is on our side for us. He is. And he's fighting for us. And that lady, that girl, with the issue of blood, she was trusting. And then all these people who were outside, all those people who were outside were all weeping and wailing for her. I think a lot of them had thought she was dead. Some of them saw her touch him. And then I'm sure some of them might have been wondering, okay, not just because she went to sleep, because they would all start wailing. One of the truth is, she didn't die. She just fell asleep. She just fell asleep. She had, in fact, not died. And they were just sitting there wailing. And they're like, oh, she's dead. Like, almost like starting the mourning right there. But then he tells her. He tells them all. She's not dead. She's asleep. Just asleep. But part of my point in this is, doesn't matter how long you've been going through a certain thing in your body, in your finances, in whatever it is you're going through, we serve a healing Jesus, a miracle-working Jesus. Who heals, who delivers, who sets captives free. That's my Jesus. And she just trusted him. Went up, touched his cloak, found her way through all those people. And reached him, touched him, got healed. Received what she wanted, which was her healing in her body. And think of her like blind Bart. He had the faith. He trusted. He wasn't sitting there doubting. And you know the cool thing about the story with the girl, with the woman with the issue of blood? She didn't say, come up here and touch me, please. He didn't say, come touch me. In fact, Jesus sat there and wondered, who touched me? Like, who is that? But she touched him. The power went out from him. So it wasn't just power like in the... It wasn't like power from like when you drink an energy drink and then suddenly you're tired because you had a crash. Like maybe you drink a 5-hour energy at 9:30 and then it's 2:30 and then you have the 2:30 crash, right? So you think the power went out of you. No. Well, that was miracle-working power from Jesus. Healing power that flowed into her body. Healing her body. Stopping all that bleeding that had been happening to her. And all the related conditions that what it came as a result of that. And she got healed instantly. Didn't take 5 years. Didn't take 5 months. She got healed right then, right there. Do all healings happen that way? No. Now there's a recovery system, which involves surgery and other things. Did you know that God can use doctors? God can use surgeons. God can use the CT scan, the MRI, all the different things that we have now to help people. To find out. He uses that. He can use the doctor's hands, the surgeon's hands. And yes, he does. And sometimes they get their healing that way. Other times it happens instantly. Now, why is it that some people, right after they start to believe, their healing comes right away? Other people, they believe for many years, and then they receive it. Other people that might be going through something like life-threatening, might believe for a while, still believe even up to when they die. But instead of getting what they believed for on earth, they get promoted to heaven. Why does God work in so many different ways? He does? I don't know. Why is it that some people get what they're believing for right away and others don't? Even if the other people are still doing the right thing, still believing, still trusting, still, you know, I don't know. We might never know. Maybe in heaven we'll find out. But I don't know. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, that we would get this word in our hearts, that we would trust in you, Master, that we would realize you are the healer. You are the miracle worker. You do move on our behalf. And I take a minute to pray over all of these who are listening right now that have any kind of sickness in their body, sickness of whatever type it might be, whether it's something that is life-threatening, like maybe you could die tomorrow, you could die next week, in a month, 6 months, a year, maybe a couple of years, or maybe it's something that you've been dealing with. Maybe that's not life-threatening, but they've given you reports about it that aren't good. Or maybe you're dealing with, you know, something like, it could just be a bad cough, could be a little cold, or whatever it is. Thank you, Lord God. You are healing all of these people with whatever sickness is in their body. You did not put it there. It is not you that made us sick. You, Jesus, did not make us sick. You are the God that heals us right here, right now. I pray that the sickness would leave our bodies right now and that we would go forth whole and healed of all infirmity. I include myself in this, Lord. Yes, I do, and I know that I will receive it, and that when I do receive my manifestation, that I will tell people about what you did in me, for me. And pray that we would just touch your garment, you know, wherever we are. That we would just trust in you, believe in you. Thank you, Master, for that, for your miracle-working power right here, right now, in Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will talk to y'all tomorrow night.